We're going to be taking our lesson tonight from the first chapter of Proverbs. 33 verses says a ton. We'll try to get through this tonight. If we have to put it on hold and continue it on, that's okay too. But we'll try to get through it tonight. As I read this, I need to remember these are the words of Solomon, the son of David. It is so easy and natural. As I was reading this and studying this, I kept thinking how these could be the words from God himself to us. And even though they are Solomon, it is inspired, but I picture God telling us these very things that Solomon says in Proverbs, the first chapter. It starts out, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." There is a lot of action verbs here that Solomon is calling on people to do. And you know, you look at these and he's saying to know. You've got to know wisdom and instruction. That just does not come. It takes effort to do that. To perceive the words of understanding. You know, to actually to understand them, for them to sink in. I was told more than once growing up in school that I got to put my listening ears on. You know, that sometimes I got a thick skull and don't listen. You've got to listen and be willing to take it in, to perceive it. It goes on to say in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. People can be presented with information, but to receive it is something different. Receiving it is, in a lot of ways, more of an attitude. It doesn't take, it really doesn't take mental ability. It takes an attitude to receive it and to take it in. And then we're told here what it is to receive, which is important. Receive instruction of wisdom. Justice. These are things that Solomon would have had to be king of Israel. And he's wanting people to have that. He gets it. And that's as I read this, I just keep thinking how God would want the same thing of us.
Amen.
And to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. You know, those first three things, wisdom, justice, and judgment, those are all very important, but without the equity part, to receive those equally, to receive those for everybody to have wisdom, for everybody to have justice. Not a select group, not the ruling class, not a gender and leaving the other out, not of an age group. That's where the equity comes in, that it has to be equal. And these things, even if they're there, if they're not equal, and if there's not equity, isn't that what drives so many people to be angry in the world today. They see the injustice. They see the unequal and the hypocrisy going on. And it angers them. That's what Solomon is addressing right here. And then the last one, the first two verses, second and third verse, are things that you need to take in. And then he's saying in verse 4, to give to others. To give a lot of these things and pass them on. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. I will include young women in that. Young people, it's not so much that the older people are smarter. We've had more instruction. We've been around the block a few times. We've got more experience. And Solomon is saying, to the young man, give them knowledge. Give them discretion. And I tell you, that's what a lot of times that discretion makes the difference. Discretion of, and that's just being socially aware. The discretion of what to say. The discretion of knowing when to say it. The discretion of knowing how to act in a certain situation. A lot of times, immature people don't know that. And he's instructing them in this. Verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Not everybody wants to increase learning. A lot of people don't want to hear, and he goes on to say, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. A lot of people don't want to hear because then they're accountable. What they don't realize is they're accountable whether they hear it or not. Wouldn't it be better to know? We're accountable to the laws. Whether we know the Nevada Revised Statutes or not. You know, pleading ignorance isn't a safe out. And especially with God's Word. But he says, a wise man will hear and increase their learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. When we look around and we want to improve, isn't it a good thing to look at others that we see as successful? Whether it's business, whether it's in sports, whether it's being happy and content in life, a good marriage, whatever it is, look to people that have succeeded and see what they've done. Amen. Look at them. And that's, Solomon is saying, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. He's not going to search out how to do things from somebody that doesn't have it figured out themselves. And to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, life. Isn't that just life? You know, we go through life trying to figure out the questions of life. I mean, and that's what it is. It's learning. Goes on to say in verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When I was younger, I would read verses like this, and I didn't quite understand why a Christian or a person should fear God. Shouldn't somebody love God and not be scared of Him? And until I was taught that this kind of fear is a respectful, reverent honor of God, a respect of God. Not that you're scared of Him. There again, when we realize what He's capable of, that can put a little fearful respect into it. But He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We're not going to achieve any knowledge that's worthwhile in God's Word until we honor God the Father. Amen. It's just words. There's a lot of people that know the Bible, know the words of God, but they use it to argue with Christians. You know, so people, you know, that just want to argue the Bible. They know the words, but they don't have a respect or love of God. Hosea 4:6 pointed out, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's where Bible study is so important. That is where not only coming together as brothers and sisters in times of study, but also privately on our own, to know God's Word. It strengthens us as Christians. It says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Here Solomon uses the examples of an ornament on your head and chains, you know, around you and so forth. Those are ornamental decoration that brings honor to you. Solomon is saying, when you listen to your mother and father and the instruction they give, it's going to elevate you and give you honor, because they want what's best for you. And Solomon was called the wisest man in the world, and he gets this, that if we follow God's word and we follow the teachings of our mother and father, how good it will be for us. Goes on to say, my son, if sinners entice you, and I bet you that's something every one of us have experienced, where we will be tempted by others. I know we're tempted by ourselves an awful lot, but tempted by others. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Amen. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. I hope all the people that have ever read that realize how ridiculous those enticements are. Solomon is saying, if people are tempting you to join in them in sinful activities, they want you to help them shanghai some innocent person. How can you trust them? You actually want to be in a group that's what they want to do? And let us all have one purse. Well, you can't. You know you can't trust them. Proverbs, a little later in Proverbs, Solomon would say, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And I tell you, that is great advice for young or old alike, not just children, but for all of us. Goes on to say, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They're not going to be successful. It's just not the right path to go. And he's warning people from that. But they lie in wait for their own blood. Earlier, just a few verses, come join us, let us shed innocent blood. But they lie in wait for their own blood. Who's it doing harm to? Yourself. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. I've always wondered why people take so much effort to try to take the shortcuts in life, to always be living, skirting the law, instead of just working. Why always be in a bad group of people trying to get one over on somebody when you don't have to be ashamed about work? But you're always looking over your shoulder, and here it's waiting for your own blood. And it takes the life away from yourself. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates of the city. Wisdom is waiting there, but you've got to go after it. But it's there. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. All Solomon is saying, I've got all of this for you. Listen to the words of God. Listen to the right path. Follow the right path. Reject sinners. Do the right thing. And then when you don't, when you've rejected, when you've refused to listen, I'm going to get the last laugh when your life takes a bad turn. You've rejected, you've turned your back on me. And now, when you're in there crying and moaning your fate, I'm going to get the last laugh. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. That is one of the common threads throughout the whole Bible, is the idea of reaping what you sow. We see that all the way through the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. You look at the two different approaches here, and I, just out of my own interest, I would like to pursue this a little bit more, maybe in a separate lesson down the road. The end result is the same. The turning away of the simple will slay them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. The end result is the same, but two very different approaches. Turning away is an actual decision. It's you're rejecting. You're going away from the things that you should. Complacency is apathy. Doing nothing. The end result of both. Complacency is just going through the motions. And I just wonder, how many times do we go through the motions of the right things, but being complacent in it, it's still going to destroy us? That if we do things for the wrong reasons, if we do things without love, it still destroys us. What a difference somebody actually rejecting and turning away and somebody just being apathetic and complacent and lukewarm. We see that, I think it was the church at Laodicea in Revelation, that was the lukewarm church, I think, that Christ will spew out of his mouth. And then the last verse, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And that's the thing. Like we mentioned this morning, it's not that when we turn to God that we've got a force field around us and nothing bad will happen, but we can live and be secure without the fear of evil. That we can dwell safely knowing that we are in the hands of God. Kind of rushed through this, but we got through it. I found Proverbs 1 very, very interesting myself. And like I always, I've always said, I know there's always going to be one person get something out of the lesson, me. And so hopefully you did too. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need to repent of sin, if you need prayers of the congregation, whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.